Verse 1, I'll tell you when to stop. No matter what translation you have, please just follow along.
You must carefully perform all of the commandments that I am commanding you right now, so you can live and multiply and enter and take possession of the land that the Lord swore to your ancestors. Remember the long road on which the Lord your God led you during these 40 years in the desert so he could humble you, testing you to find out what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you by making you hungry and then feeding you the manna that neither you nor your ancestors have ever experienced, so he could teach you that people don't live on bread alone. No, they live based on whatever the Lord says.
Somebody say amen. Amen. Keep reading.
During these 40 years, your clothes didn't wear out and your feet didn't swell up. Know then in your heart that the Lord your God has been disciplining you just as a father disciplines his children. Keep the commandments of the Lord your God, by walking in his ways and by fearing him. Because the Lord your God is bringing you to a wonderful land, a land that streams of water, springs, and wells that gush up in the valleys and on the hills. A land of wheat and barley, vines, figs, trees, and pomegranates. A land of olive oil and honey. A land where you will eat food without any shortage. You won't lack a thing there.
Come on, somebody. Doesn't that sound like a place we want to be? It's been provided. Go ahead.
A land where stone is hard as iron and where you will mine copper from the hills. You will eat, you will be satisfied, and you will bless the Lord your God in the wonderful land that he has given you. But watch yourself. Don't forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commands or his case laws or his regulations that I am commanding you right now. When you eat, get full. Build nice houses and settle down. And when your herds and your flocks are growing large, your silver and gold are multiplying, and everything you have is thriving, don't become arrogant, forgetting the Lord your God, the one who rescued you from Egypt, from the house of slavery, the one who led you through the vast and terrifying deserts of poisonous snakes and scorpions, of cracked ground with no water, the one who made water flow from you out of a hard rock, the one who fed you manna in the wilderness, which your ancestors have never experienced, in order to humble and test you, but in order to do good to you in the end.
Okay, stop. Before we get to verse 17, is everybody following the text?
Amen.
Amen. And one of the reasons we're doing this today is that, again, I've been saying that these are messages that are bore out of Scripture and bore out of us understanding Bible. And so the reason we're reading Deuteronomy chapter 8 is because it's a very good, matter of fact, the word Deuteronomy deals with summarizing, right? It deals with gathering the information that has occurred in the first four books of the Bible, right? So therefore, here we are in Deuteronomy, and there's a summary going on of what has taken place and what the children of Israel have experienced. Now, please take note that though we've been ministering out of Joshua, we'll go back to it in a second, but what we're simply doing is establishing a very, very important understanding, foundation, background, undergirding, so we can have valuable lesson upon lesson of where God wants you to go today. Because how many know that we can grow by learning?
Amen.
So, we grow by learning.
Amen.
And we grow by revelation knowledge, not by mental assent. But God uses the things that we read, the things we pray about, the desires of our heart, and he uses that to breathe his spirit upon us that we might have revelation knowledge so that we might be able to grow thereby.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yep.
Say, I need
a revelation
on the knowledge I learned. Isn't that a good word? Amen. And I believe. Thank you. You don't have to do that part. And I believe that today is a day saturated by the Holy Spirit by which we can gain knowledge by revelation for your life.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes.
But it's going to require some thinking today. Got two amens and an oh Lord, okay? Everybody say, I will put on my thinking cap and open up my heart to revelation of God. Amen. Good. All right. So we've just read from verses 1 to 16 of chapter 8 of Deuteronomy. And now we're going to read verse 17. You have such a beautiful voice, sister. Please know that we will be using you again. Amen. Go ahead.
Don't think to yourself, my own strength and abilities have produced all this prosperity for me. Remember the Lord your God. He, the one who gives you the strength to be prosperous in order to establish the covenant, has made with your ancestors, and that's how things stand right now. But if you do, in fact, forget the Lord your God and follow other gods, serving and bowing down to them, I swear to you right now that you will be completely destroyed. Just like the nations that the Lord is destroying before you, that's exactly how you will be destroyed. All because you didn't obey the Lord, your God's voice.
Now, you got to get a little ethnic with me on this one. But we kind of say it like this. I ain't scared. Right. Now, I know you handle that very differently than I do. But the point is, we're not scared because Jesus Christ not only has our back, he has our front. He got our sides. We're taped up, wrapped up, stapled up in Jesus. And he won't let go of me. About four of y'all got that point. Okay, let me come over here. Jesus has the very best for our lives. And everything that we could not fulfill, he's already fulfilled it and completed it. Is everybody with me? So this is not a misconception of doctrine, but we do understand. We just read the whole chapter 8. Are you with me? All right. Would you just touch that neighbor real quickly, if you will, the one that's near you, just touch him real quickly, front, back, and on the side of you or so. We're just going to touch on this and just pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we ask that you would make clarity of what you've put within me as your servant. And no matter how much I proclaim or like to declare or say that we treat God, it's your Holy Spirit that gives the revelation. So I pray, Father, that he that has ears to hear, I pray, God, that it would go beyond me. And God, cause your church to hear what the Spirit says. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Praise God. So here we go. Now, we just read Deuteronomy chapter 8, right?
Yes.
Now, please follow along with the message. This is, in essence, still a part, you know, still has the concepts revolved around it, though we don't title it as such, but it's still revolved around the concepts of how to accomplish, right? Are you with me? Can you bring that up now, brother, or somebody? Thank you. Something is taking place today that I myself have never done before, and here it is that write this down as your title, all right? Today's title is Joshua chapter 5, verses 11 to 12. Hey, Janae. Joshua chapter 5, verses 11 to 12. That's our title today. There's one a little more small part to the title. But let's go ahead. And I know some of y'all are so eager that you want to go there already and then you want to get the whole message. That's okay. I don't mind. But here's what we want to do. Today's title is what?
Joshua.
Chapter,
five.
Verses.
11-12.
Praise God. That's today's message. And in today's message, this is all right. So let's read. It says, and the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate of the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. And the manna ceased the day after they ate of the produce of the land. And there was no longer manna for the people of Israel, but they ate of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. Powerful. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Today's title is Joshua chapter 5, verses 11 to 12. So you may ask the question, that's the title? Say, that's the title?
Yes.
You know, I love words and I love titles, but I'll spend a portion of the whole message just working on the title. And I did that this time too. And after I did all of my exhaustive work of working on the title, I couldn't get a title. So guess what today's title is? Let me tell you why. Because when you see it on the website, or if you walk away and that's your only note, if you don't get a single thing that I preach, you'll look at this text, you'll look at this scripture, and the revelation is in the scripture alone. The scripture alone speaks of the revelation knowledge. Everybody said amen. Amen. So that's the title. Here's a little part I want to add to it. Eat fresh. Sister looked at me, amen. Pastor, you just said you didn't give it a title. Well, this is just a little focus to help us, all right? Everybody say eat fresh. Y'all seem a little quiet today. You know it's spring break. Y'all can get a little more happier, right? It's supposed to be about 50 today. Can I get y'all to be a little more excited, okay? So eat fresh. So you're asking the question, a restaurant slogan? Not exactly. It is, because that way we can associate with what we want to talk about. But for the most part, what we want to deal with is not necessarily a restaurant. Now, I'm going to keep messing with the restaurant. Y'all, what restaurant is this anyway? Y'all, I was just checking to see where y'all ate at. That's all. You know what I'm saying? I know some of y'all really like Jimmy John's, right? I understand that. But here's the deal. We understand why their slogan is eat fresh, right? Because they're contrasting what? McDonald's, you know, right? You can, like, Brother Peter doesn't eat there anymore because of that, you know, that testimony that came out that somebody put it in their pocket. And they came back, put it in the dry cleaners, came back 2 years later, and they pulled it out, and it looked just the same as the day they gave it. Oh, it's 14 years. 14 years later, the cheeseburger came back out, just cheeseburger. So wait a minute. So I think Subway is onto something. Eat fresh. Are you with me? Say it with me. Say eat fresh. All right, eat fresh, praise God. Now, you know what? I'm not trying to mess with your French fries, please. Now, you know what? You go get your French fries on. I'm not messing with your French fries. But today we want to talk about eat fresh. So when we talk about eat fresh, please know that the scripture said that they ate of the produce of the land of Canaan. Remember, this is the land of promise, right? And in verses 11 and 12, we find out that they ate of the land that they had entered in. Everybody with me? So this just represents that there was food and produce that was there. And they went in and they ate of it. And I'll talk about this in the text in just a few minutes. But they ate of what was fresh. And also the manna ceased. You hear me? Listen, they ate of the goodies, right? And then what they had been eating for 40 years stopped because they ate of the land. Is everybody with me? Yeah. So here is what I want you to understand out of what we're trying to explain. The scripture is the revelation. And if you get the message is simply this. They had manna. They ate of the produce of the land of Canaan. They entered in. They ate of the produce of the land. It was fresh. It was what was being provided for them. They ate of that land. And the next day, the manna stopped. That was the revelation. Got it? The reason we're using those words, eat fresh, is because you can see this, that on that day, they ate fresh. They ate of what was fresh that they hadn't had in 40 years. They ate of what was fresh that they didn't even have necessarily in Egypt. They ate what was new, what was fresh. They hadn't had this before. They began to eat it. And once they began to eat it, what they used to eat stopped. Is everybody with me?
Yes,
ma'am. Man, A-type personalities. Where is he going with this? Stay with me. Thank you. Here's understanding Joshua chapter 5, verse 11. And the day after the Passover, everybody say Passover. Then the next underline says they ate of the produce of the land, and they had unleavened cakes and parched grain. So the first part of what we need to understand out of Joshua chapter 5, verse 11 is this. Now the children of Israel camped in Gilgal. Everybody say Gilgal. In other words, you have to understand, they crossed over the Jordan River. Notes will come out later. They cross over the Jordan River, and they come and they set up camp at a place called Gilgal. And this place called Gilgal becomes the bench place or their little campground or where they're going to set up headquarters for whatever they're going to do in the Promised Land. So Gilgal is before Jericho. Matter of fact, it's 2 miles outside of Jericho. Now, many of us know Jericho, marching around the building. Yeah, we got that. But do we understand that before they start marching around Jericho, they camped out at a place called what? Which was about how long away from?
2 miles.
Very good. Amen. And there in Gilgal, at the twilight, at the plains of Jericho is where they were. And we understand as a result of the text, got to study scholarly wise, that Passover here was an insert of the scribes. Okay, so it does say Passover, but what we need to understand about Passover is that it was the entirety of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Say unleavened bread. And unleavened bread, this major feast, deals with how they came out of Egypt. When they came out of Egypt, they was in such a rush. I'll show you scriptures later. They was in such a rush that they could not even put leaven in their bread in order to make it good and yummy. So they just had to eat it while it was straight flat and, you know, necessarily a little less taste or whatever, because they were getting kicked out of Egypt. So therefore they had unleavened bread. But that very thing that may not have been taste worthy or what may not have risen to be the bread that they were used to becomes also the very thing that they celebrate. Because in that they had been have deliverance. Man, in other words, there are some things that accompany us, even though when we get free, we may not have liked it at the time, but it becomes the very thing we can celebrate, because once we get free, being free was better than me having leaven in the bread. Let me say it to you like this, especially if those might be in situation right there. You may not like how God is freeing you, but I praise be unto God. I'd rather be free than the way that I choose that how it's going to be.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Say, I want to be free. So here is that they celebrated and looking back to their redemption from Egypt. The original Passover itself could never be repeated. But there was a power in its remembrance. I mean, understand, you need to go back and remember how God has made you free.
Amen.
You need to go back and rehearse your testimony.
Yep.
You need to go back and look at some of those journals you read. You need to go back and remember that, you know, they had you write in your Bible that scripture when you came up and to be saved or whatever it might be, because we need to remember how God made us free. Is everybody with me? Here in Canaan, they have come upon produce of the land, thus having the substance to use for their celebration. You see, in the wilderness, they didn't have these things. So therefore, it says here that they ate of the produce of the land. In other words, they had availability. They had resources. Say resources. They had resources in order to be able to even celebrate the unleavened bread. They did not have that in the wilderness because they only had manna and quail. And if they did not have the resources, they couldn't even celebrate the unleavened feast because they did not have the substances and the resources to be able to celebrate what God had did for them. Y'all like it when I holler and shout and talk about your finances. That's what y'all really like. Amen. We want to understand the scriptures today. Are you with me? Amen. That's right, brother. Hold up. So listen. So here it is. In the wilderness, let's see how good we're following here. In the wilderness, they did not have what?
Resources.
They did not have what?
Resources.
In order to even celebrate what God had done for them. Let me bring it home. Have you ever gone without? Thank you. Have you ever been lacking?
Amen.
Have you ever felt like you didn't have enough?
Amen.
And as Brother Peter just said, have you ever been in a situation where you felt like it's kind of That's right. That's what their situation was until they had gotten into the Promised Land. Okay. So when you talk about unleavened cakes, say unleavened cakes.
Unleavened cakes.
This was to commemorate another circumstance in the departure of the Israelites, who were urged to leave so hurriedly that their dough was unleavened, found in Exodus 12:39. In other words, and they had to eat unleavened cakes. Deuteronomy 16:3 is very enlightening. It says this: you shall eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days you shall eat it, and with unleavened bread, the bread of affliction. In other words, it was considered to be the bread of affliction. Unleavened bread was considered to be the bread of affliction. For you came out of the land of Egypt in how? In haste, that all the days of your life you would remember the day when you came out of the land of Egypt. God wants you to remember how we were freed. Somebody say amen. Amen. You remember the powerful message Mother Lawson taught and brought up, the actual manna and all that, the motts and all that, and it had the stripes on and everything. Why do we celebrate communion? Because Jesus is our deliverer. And therefore, when we have communion, this is not just a little snack in the middle of church. My God, this is the remembrance of what Jesus did for us. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. The greatest care was always taken by the Jews, get this, to free their houses from leaven. The owner searching every corner of his dwelling with lighted candle. That's very powerful, because that's when we ask God, search me, O God, and know what's within me. Right? If there be anything that's not like you, any wicked thing in me, anything that's unchaste, anything that's not like you, God, remove it from me. And that's why in the New Testament, it likens leaven unto the things that are not are of this world. And we're not supposed to have leaven with us anymore. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. It says parched grain. Say parched grain. Parched grain was new grain. It was what kind of grain? New grain, which was probably just lying in the fields like the particular thing that I showed. And that other word about that word parched is that it was roasted. So what does that mean? It was a very simple and primitive preparation, much like in the East. So when it says that it was unleavened cakes and it was parched grain that they entered into, it was things that was roasted, that type of grain. But it was also the things that was of the ground and of a freshness. And they were able to take of it. They were even able to use it in order to have unleavened bread. You see, crossing the Jordan River is finished, and the Ark of the Covenant comes from the midst of the river. When they cross over the Jordan River and they take it, they take the Ark of the Covenant across there. It's very powerful, very miraculous. I'll refer to the rivers in a few minutes. But it says this: when they entered into the city of Gilgal, the city of Gilgal became a benchhead and a camp for Israel in their conquest of Canaan. They returned there after battle and remembered, finding strength in the remembrance of the memorial, their obedience, and their redemption. In other words, Gilgal was a beautiful place that they could always come back to and refresh themselves over what God has done, in order that they might be energized to what God will do. And many of us try to take on new possessions without remembering that God has already done great things for you, and you don't have to rely on yourself. But when you go back to the place of memory or remembrance, you remember it was my God who gives me wealth. It was my God who set me free. It was my God who saved me. Thus, anything that comes up against me, my God will be able to do that as well. Hallelujah. So therefore, we see here that was the place in which they had these things. There are three works at Gilgal. The first one was the memorial stones were set up after they crossed the Jordan River. The second thing was a radical obedience. You'll see this in Joshua chapter 5. Here it is. These men and all of these people that have come through the wilderness, now they've entered into the promised land. They're on the foothills of the promised land. They're about to ready to go take Jericho. And right in the midst of that, they circumcise. Now, I want you to understand, that sounds very illogical. Are you with me? All right, so this is just me and you today, sweetie, okay? So here's what it is that basically you got grown men, you've got young men, and they're supposed to be getting ready for battle, war. Are you with me? Oh, slow up, y'all. Everybody line up. We're going to circumcise right now. Now you got it, right? Right? How many know you'd be like, yeah, I'll be back, Josh, right quick. You know what I'm saying? Josh, I'll be back. I promise. I'm going to come back. I'm going to catch you. I just had to go over here to, I'll be right back. But they all lined up. And how many understand this was obedience?
Yeah.
Say obedience.
Obedience.
You see, some things that God asks us to do, we're just supposed to obey it. How many understand? It may not look like what you need to do. It may not be the thing that you think you should do. But when we obey God, how many understand God is the one that's going to get the victory? Hallelujah. And the third thing was a redemption remembered. They celebrated the Passover or the unleavened bread. So they celebrated, they were circumcised in obedience, and they had crossed the Jordan River and put up memorial stones. Now, that's real interesting. Man, I wish I could preach that. But do you understand, as they do that, God gave you a revelation, not just recently, but a while back. But here it is. They crossed the Jordan River. Say Jordan River.
Jordan.
Which was a form of baptism.
Right.
Amen. Now, there was two bodies of water that was crossed. Are you with me?
Yes.
Let's check this out. Here was Egypt. Here's what?
Egypt.
And in order to go from bondage, they had to cross what? The what?
Red Sea.
So they crossed the Red Sea, right? So they crossed the Red Sea, and they are no longer in what?
Bondage.
But they are now in what?
Wilderness,
and they are wandering in the wilderness. There's only three places many of us in this room can be. We are either still experiencing what?
Bondage.
Or we crossed over the Red Sea miraculously, powerfully by God, and now we may be found in what?
Wilderness.
Right? Thank God we're no longer in what?
Bondage.
But there's still more of what God wants me to enter into.
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So therefore, here comes the next place. They've got now another river. 40 years in this wilderness, 40 years in this wandering. It's not bondage, it's better than bondage. But it's still not the promises. So therefore, here comes this next miraculous crossing. They now are going to cross the what? Into the? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Come on, give the Lord a praise offering for that. Amen. God wants to take every single one of us, podcasts, in this room, out on the streets, your friends, neighbors, family members, people back home, people you're going to spring break with. He wants to take everybody from bondage into a wilderness state or a wandering or finding of themselves, a dependency on God, that they can then one day cross over the Jordan River and be found in the promises of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, it is good to have a place like Gilgal in our life. This is the place where we first come into God's promises, a place of memorial, a place of obedience, and what? A place of obedience and a place of what? You see, understanding Joshua chapter 5, verse 11 is this final point. They were to always live remembering that they were a people delivered and remembering God's work of deliverance. Can somebody say amen? It is here that we also understand, in the same way, we are to be in constant remembrance of our redemption at Calvary and life and lives. And I'm sorry, we're to live our lives in the shadow of the cross. Somebody say amen. How many understand Jesus accomplished all of our deliverance? It's okay that you may not feel like you are in deliverance, but Jesus accomplished it. And so we're going to work at getting our eyes off of ourselves right now and upon Jesus. He has made you free. Hallelujah. Jesus has made me free. Jesus has made you free. It is accessible. Hallelujah. So when we understand Joshua chapter 5, verse 12 is this. And the manna ceased after they ate of the produce of the land. No longer manna for the people. They ate of the fruit of the land. Here's the point. The manna ceased and they ate the land's produce. Can you say that last line with me? Ready, set, read. The manna ceased and they ate the land's produce. You see, and they did eat of the old corn. Now, technical point here. We might read in some of our Bibles or in King James Version, it says corn, but corn was not yet discovered yet. We have to understand translation. What they're speaking about is grain. Say grain.
Grain.
So therefore, that's why it says parched grain. But in the King James, it says old corn. But here's something important about it. They went and they did eat of the old corn of the land, which was found in the storehouses of the inhabitants who had fled into Jericho. You see, what had happened is that the whole land of Canaan had heard about the children of Israel. And now, though they lived out on farms and though they lived out away from the city, they heard that the children of Israel was coming. Them people packed up, got out of Dodge and moved to Beverly. Are you with me? Right? They loaded up the truck and they loaded up the chariot and moved to Beverly. So the point here is the enemy has heard about the people of God. The people of God are now entering into the promises. The people of God are now entering into the corporate field. People of God are now entering into the business world. People of God are now entering into the school systems. People of God are now on PTA and taking assistant principal jobs. And the people of God are going into places of government. The people of God are going into the streets. Stop hiding in the church. Let's get out into the world. Let's be the light of the world. Let's be the salt of the earth. Let's tell the people that Jesus Christ lives. He saves. And you can be made free from Egypt and from the wilderness and enter into the promises of God. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Amen. Glory to God. You've got the most powerful message because of the most powerful person, and we cannot be afraid to share it. Tell it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So here it is. These people fled to Jericho. They left their crops open. You know, some of y'all that know the scriptures, get this. This is where this comes in at. The Bible says, for the treasures and the rich would be laid up for the just. Here is perfect word. This is word. This is actual. This actually happened. For the finances of the just are going to be given by those that are not. Look at this. The children of Egypt making pyramids. When they get ready to leave, they broke. And they just robbed the children of Egypt. They gave them everything. Gold, gave them money, gave them jewelry, took everything. You see, what's laid up for us belongs to us because they come from God. Is anybody with me today? All right, let's get closer. You see, when the people were able to provide for themselves from the rich produce of Canaan, God stopped the manna. He didn't want them to get lazy, but enter into a new partnership of trust with him. The illustration is this. You had to trust God to bring the manna every day, but you also had to trust him to provide for you through other means. Is everybody with me? Now, I know this is going to be a little quiet because you know what? This is where, you know, things get transferred and transition into some responsibility. Amen. Hey, Brother Joe, can you bring that up here and let's at least set it up? That'll probe their interest and wake up a few people. Listen, here's the issue. Let's make this very plain. What we're really trying to minister to today is how to accomplish what you're praying for, what you're desiring. And if that is going to ever be the case, then guess what? We have to go into the way God was going to provide it. God's given it to you, but we have to enter into it. You know what many of us want? We want everything to just be given to us. Right? Mm-hmm. Right? You know what? I know y'all trying to get understanding, so let's just do it this way. The manna did what? The manna what? I'm glad you said that. Come on, Brother Joe. Hop up there for me. If you mind, I'm gonna change this because of the direction here. Yeah, that's good right there. Thanks. Everybody say, eat fresh. Making some of y'all hungry, I know. I'm sorry. Look at them vegetables, boy. See, we want to make a vegetarian slob up in this mug. I'm telling you. All right, look at that. Woo-wee. All right. All right. While I'm still in bondage, you might be in the room today. God start talking to you about what he has for you. He's going to make your marriage better. He's going to cause you to have children. He's going to cause you to get a job or a house. You're going to graduate in time. You're not going to have to owe the school any money. He's talking to you while you feel like you're in bondage. Good things for you. I want to bless you. I've got already prepared. I knew you was going to go through slavery. I know your heart. I understand you've been dealing with that sin for 12 years. I know you've been dealing with that cigarette, that alcohol for many, many years. And we just decided to give up on it. He's talking to you about the promised land. The vision is what? So he first gets you out of. And now you was on slave food over there. Over here, you're now in the wilderness and you don't have jack, as we call it, right? So now you like mad at people and you mad at God. Moses, you just brought us out here to die. Aaron, you his brother, could you get something? We thirsty, we hungry. Are you with me? God said, wait a minute, slow up. God said, you know what? Boy, these people something else. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to provide for them. And how does he do it? What is this? How many know the word manna means what is this? Manna means what is this? What is this? Well, you can only take a little bit. You can only take for today. Don't try to save it up. Keep it going. Keep it going. Just keep it. There you go. Just keep it going. All right. I'll wake up the next day. Come back the next day. Man, this is miraculous. We out here in the wilderness and the wandering and we didn't have any food. But now God has given us food. God has caused water to come from rocks. Everybody say miracle.
Miracle.
Keep it coming. Keep it coming. God a little slow up there. I'm sorry. So I mean, understand God's giving us what? Manna. He's giving us what?
Manna.
He's giving us what?
Manna.
He's giving us provision miraculously. When we did not have, God provided for us miracles. Is everybody with me? Man, dude, I don't mind it hitting me in my head, but every now and then, I'm gonna try to sneak off with a little extra. Ah, what happened? It's worms. Miracles are not supposed to be stored up. I'm not supposed to store up all these miracles because God never wanted us to live from miracle to miracle to miracle because that is associated with wilderness or wandering. So then, now stop right there. We cross over the Jordan and now I'm in the promised land. I'm in Gilgal. Everybody with me?
Yeah.
Ooh, wee. I haven't ever seen one of these. Thank you, Jesus. The day they ate from the promises, the matter what? Did he still have manna?
Yes.
Our God has not run out of miracles.
Amen.
our God has not run out of being able to bless you miraculously. Show up when you need him. You might not have, but he has, because he never ran out. It's just that when we come into the promised land, we're supposed to be able to eat of the promises, even though we might not have any more miracles. Say amen.
Amen.
That's why we've got this little focus. Eat fresh. Everybody say eat fresh.
Eat fresh.
Turn to your neighbor and say eat fresh.
Eat fresh.
You see, the message about eat fresh is this. Eat fresh from whatever God is providing you with. There are times he's providing you with miracles because you had need of a miracle. But there's other times, eat fresh. God has provided you with produce of the land. Therefore, we cannot be lazy, sitting up waiting on a miracle. We've got to enter in and possess the promises that God has provided us. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Say, eat fresh.
Eat fresh.
Did we not read in Deuteronomy chapter 8? That man does not live by bread alone or by manna, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Why is that quoted like that? Because Rhema deals with right now. It means what's fresh. There are some of us in here right now. We're trying to live off of Sunday school lessons, Sunday school messages. We're trying to live off what my mama dad and coming here talking about what my grandfather was a pastor. No. God wants us to live off of what is fresh. Eat fresh. Eat what came out of heaven today. Hallelujah. Say eat fresh. You see, eat fresh is this. Whatever and however God is sending now freshly is the provision of his promises. The scripture said, when they ate of the produce of the land, the manna stopped. The manna ceased. Please get this if you don't get it. Eating fresh means miracles or blessings? No. It doesn't mean miracles versus blessings? No. We eat fresh because it's miracles and blessings. Somebody say amen. Say miracles and blessings. But this is what I want you to get you to understand. He doesn't want us to live from miracle to miracle. But we are supposed to live in blessings. Somebody say amen. What are blessings? Blessings is I have entered into the promises. I've entered into the promises of God. I'm eating from the produce of the land. And because, you know, and this is why I really want to really, really strongly say why this message needs to be preached, taught from those that have and those that have not, is because, listen, both of us need this message. First of all, to the haves. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, what we just read, let us not forget that it was God who gave us the power to get wealth, the power to prosper. It wasn't your good looks that got you married. If they didn't come down your street at that particular time, orchestrated divinely by God, you never would have seen them. Matter of fact, you have to understand, it is a tremendous, absolute blessing Sister Anna married me, because she wasn't going to go out on a second date because my breath stung. You right is deep. Be careful if you don't get a second date. Amen. We've got to understand. It's not that medical procedure that caused it. It was God who giveth every man the ability and the power to get health. Somebody say amen. It's not miracles or blessings. It's miracles and blessings. But God wants us to live from blessing to blessing. What is blessing to blessing? Blessing to blessing is this. Please pay attention to what I'm saying. Even as we were with people this week, there's this mentality that comes upon us. There's this mentality that says to ourselves that, you know what? I don't even want to try because things don't work out when I try. No, God gives us the power to enter into the promises. If it's baptism of the Holy Spirit, he's not going to withhold any good thing that he has for you. If it means, you know what, let's look at this next slide. Here's the purpose of the message, is to raise our hope and trust in God. Can you say that with me? To raise our hope and trust in God. When they did not have in the wilderness, God gave them miracles of manna. But when they entered into the promised land and they ate the produce of the land, the manna stopped. Because they were provided for. Does everybody hear me? They were what? They were what? They were provided for. Look at this, number two. Strengthen and add substance to our what? To our what? About miracles and God-giving natural blessings. You see, some of us may be duped, or we may have the shade over our eyes, and we don't believe that God shows up in manifestation. And I think sometimes that's why we're quiet, even in our amens, is because we understand God is good, but will God be manifested so I can see him manifest in my life? And yes, he manifests in your life. Hallelujah. God wants to show up and manifest in your life. Let us not forget. That's what Deuteronomy 8 is about. Let us not forget. When they put in bids for the house and they stopped and you got the house and they didn't. My God, he favored us more. He came on our behalf. You see, whatever God has for you can never be taken away from you. We need to renew some of our minds to look for and live in the blessings of God responsibly. Say responsibly. By stewardship, resources that are for us, meaning God has given us resources, and we want and will go into the blessing. We want and we will go into the blessing. We want and we what? Go into the blessing. Is it miracles or blessings? Please just remember this. I'm closing. Just remember this. Wandering and wilderness associates itself with miracles because you cannot provide for yourself. Who am I talking to? You're just looking for a miracle. That's what you wait on. And then once you get that one, God, would you give me another miracle? Let me tell you why I'm saying this. God forbid, everybody comes to a point where they have need. Understandable. But we have been in the ministry long enough. Not me. I'm talking about like BCC and Pastor Jeremy and Pastor Holly and stuff like that. They work with our ministry of people that come from the community. Typically the people, God forbid, but the people that have need of things, they come back the next month. They come back the next month. And sometimes they come twice a month. Do you know why? Wandering. You see, when you enter into promises, now I can be a blessing. Somebody say amen. Now I can be a blessing. I've got something. I've entered into the promise. You know why I sit with people that are getting married? I got a marriage. Now you can be blessed and be able to give godly counsel and do those type of things. But you know why I sit around and maybe I talk about how to keep a job? Because this weekend I celebrate 25 years with FedEx. Oh, have I been late? Absolutely. Have I messed up some? Yes. But thanks be unto God, it wasn't what I did, it's what he did to keep me where I am. Do seasons change? Yes. But I mean, understand, God is no respecter of person. He's not partial to somebody. He's not on that side of the track, but he's not going to help this side of the track. Somebody say amen. Amen. Over here is where what is? Blessings. So that I can be a, over here are our, the promises and the blessings of God, so we can be a, somebody say amen.